In the know, nonstop Vikings talk. It's Purple Daily on Score North and ScoreNorth.com. Purple Daily, presented by Surly Brewing Company.
But our guys got a, you know, our guys have a good attitude. They come to work every week and practice and, you know, do a good job studying, paying attention. And I think character in the locker room is big. Dalvin is a tremendous leader, along with, you know, Anthony Barr, getting him back and playing. He's a great leader as well, and Patrick Peterson. So, you know, we'll just keep trying to get these guys healthy where we can all play together at once.
And welcome into the Thanksgiving edition of Purple Access, sponsored by our friends at Surly Brewing Company and, of course, TCL TVs. Hopefully, if you're watching football all weekend long, and it's a great weekend to do so, you're doing so on a TCL TV. If not, check them out. Zolgad, executive producer Declan Goff, and Chip Scoggins, my friend from the Star Tribune, of course, Star Tribune sports columnist, Purple Access, a show that primarily focuses on the Vikings. And Chipper, what do you make of where this team is at right now? Because at 3-5, it felt pretty damn hopeless, and it felt like the ship was sinking. I like what they've done offensively. I'm not sure at what point I'll officially be sold. I'm not there yet, but I think at least offensively, it feels like they're trending in the right direction.
Yeah, it feels like they finally have identified what they want their identity to be. Judd, what are they, fifth or sixth in the NFC right now? Playoff
sixth.
Positioning?
They're in sixth. The sixth seed.
And you look at the schedule and look at the way they're playing, you know, it feels like this, you know, can be a playoff team now that they're kind of this offensive the last 2 weeks, Judd, I mean, you and I have been texting about it. I mean, this is for them to come out and say, go for the jugular, cut her loose, don't worry about interceptions. If you throw an interception, that's fine. It's like, is this Mike Zimmer saying this? I mean, it just feels, right. But if they can continue with this formula and realizing that, hey, what we've been screaming since the beginning of the season, you have all this wonderful skill talent at skill positions, use it appropriately. Mm-hmm. You feel like this team could, get over whatever was plaguing them in these losses early in the year where it shouldn't have been losses because they were just playing things so conservatively and close to the vest and not using their talent appropriately. It felt like.
Yeah, I agree completely. And when's the last time, Chip, that the Vikings had a chance and then got the ball back as they did on Sunday? And you thought to yourself, oh boy, that's lots of time. Like, I have not felt that way in at least the Cousins time here era ever. And on Sunday, you actually felt like, you know, no joking, no being a smart ass about it. You really felt like if they get the ball back late here, they might be in really good shape, and they were.
Yeah, it's always been the other quarterback where you're like, they left him too much time.
Rodgers,
like, you never, exactly. Go down the list. Russell Wilson, we've seen that movie before. But the way that Cousins, Jefferson, and Thielen are playing right now, you sort of feel like they have that now, that just give them enough time and they can throw the ball down the field and make a play. And, we've been, pounding the table over and over all seasons. Like, and, there's a definition. There's a difference between being reckless and just throwing it up. But, I mean, that the last touchdown to Jefferson, that was a blitz, and he throws it up and lets Jefferson go make a play. You just have to trust that he's going to do it. He's that darn good that I would always gamble on that one. And it was – here's the thing, Judd. With Cousins after the game saying, you know what, there's probably half dozen throws that were high risk. I hope he doesn't overthink it this week when he's watching film. You know, when he looks back, I hope he doesn't overthink it and thinks, you know what, I got away with it there. I better not do that again. Because – you know, I wrote that when we were talking about it last week, I was doing the, how do you phrase it? The justification? Is that what?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Instead of the Randy ratio.
First ratio.
I wrote that, hey, it's basically what Zim said this week too, that when you're playing this way, there's going to be some interceptions and you just got to live with it. And on that, you know, the one that Savage, even if that had stayed, I still would say that, Judd. I would stand by that statement.
That's what I said too.
Guess what? He may throw an interception that cost him a game, and it's, I don't think it'd be hypocritical to come back and be like, oh gosh, why are you taking chances there? No, I mean, that's, right. I think you're going to have to live with it, right?
Absolutely. I said the same thing. When it looked like that ball had been picked off, I said that was still the right play. Now, it was not a great throw. It was a poor throw. But that being said, the idea was right. And here's the, and so here's the difference too, between when I criticize Kirk and when I applaud Kirk, or I should say it just as much, probably the people deciding what Kirk should do. If that had been Chipper, a short pass for Dalvin, a check down that went off Dalvin's hands, got bobbled around and picked off, I would have said that's a terrible play call. That's a terrible pass by Kirk. But I firmly believe that aggressiveness leads to breaks, and the Vikings got breaks. And this league, the fine line here that people, I think, because this is true of all sports, but probably football, Chip, more so. The fine line is this one. So like when the Vikings lose games because Cook is called for a fumble that's bogus, or because, you know, the Vikings were going to beat the Cardinals and then Joseph missed, you know, they're unlucky. No, they're actually not. That's just football. And so the Packers easily on Sunday could have had two huge picks, but they didn't. But what I liked about it is those were nullified picks of aggression from the Vikings. Mm-hmm. And if you're going to be aggressive and say, okay, we went down, but we went down swinging, I'm going to applaud. But it's when, like, we're trying to run the ball with Dalvin, that's a bad. It's like, no, you're not. You don't get it. My arguably, Chip, my favorite play of the entire year is still week one, Bengals, Vikings, fourth down. Was it OT or late in that game? Fourth and one or inches. And Joe Burrow changed the play and threw a pass.
Yeah.
I love that play. And you know what? If that does not work, okay, it didn't work. But it's a great chance to take.
Yeah, and the thing, I did like Cousins' response to that. He said, it wasn't a bad decision. It was a poor throw. He didn't throw it high enough or whatever.
Right.
He didn't place it right. So at least he was thinking, it wasn't wrong to be aggressive. I just didn't make a good throw. And that's the mindset you have to have, you know? Because we saw early in the year, Judd, and this, I mean, the NFL, we've talked about the parity for years in the NFL. It's like, you know, nothing new. But this year just feels like every week there's two games where you're like, where did that come from, right? Mm-hmm. And every team's having those. And so we saw earlier in the year that playing it safe, playing for field goals, playing conservative, and stop, that doesn't work. You're just not going to be successful that way. I mean, there's too many, even against bad teams, because bad teams are winning games.
Houston.
You know? Yeah. I mean, they're just winning games. And so it's, you have to play the way they played the last 2 weeks. Keep your foot on the gas. Use your talent that you have. And not just go into retreat into a shell and try to play
correct
1985 football, because that's just not a formula for success in today's football. And so, I think analytics one will tell you in those situations you got to go for it more and do different things. And so, I like the fact that Zimmer is. Is this the new Zim?
I think this is the Zim.
The last 2 weeks have been weird. It's just anti-Zim, right?
Yeah, and I think he's been told you have to do this. I don't think that this is Mike. Mike's trying to spin this like he found, you know, I found God and now I've got no. People don't change.
I found the football gods.
But if you're a Vikings fan, you don't really care. You just want to see this.
Well, as much as it is the coaching, and I think, you know, that's part of it. It's the quarterback being willing to do it.
Yep.
Because we said last week, there's no way on God's green or Clint Kubiak's calling checkdowns to CJ Ham.
Yep.
Like, it's the quarterback being willing to cut it loose, right? And get rid of kind of his risk averse nature and, you know, just take more chances and giving those guys giving those guys opportunities to do what they do. And, you know, Jefferson is just, I mean, he's a superstar. I mean, when you look at me, he's better than guys that are covering him. And so I would always err on the side of giving that guy a chance to make a big play. So, and we saw it, you know, we talked about last week. If it's not a pass, he's probably going to draw at least one pass interference penalty a game, right?
Yeah.
You know, that's just the way the game is nowadays. So, I think if they can stay to this and Cousins can continue to play the way he has the last 2 weeks, this, what do we say all year? This offense should not rank 18th in scoring. This should be a top, I think you even said it should be a top five.
Yeah.
But definitely should be a top 10 in scoring offense.
Yes. Most definitely. And I do think, so my gut feeling is this. First of all, I think Mike was told this offense is too good to do what you want to do. Second of all, from Kirk's postgame comments on Sunday, I think what you alluded to is right. I don't think Kirk is comfortable with this, but because he'll do what he's told, and by the way, has the arm talent too. That's the thing is, like, Kirk doesn't trust Kirk as much as I trust Kirk. Now, I don't want Kirk making decisions because I don't think he's great at that, but I do want him, but like, that arm is good. It's not great. It's good. And so I am curious to see your point, which is, does Kirk continue to allow himself to keep making throws that are risky, but are going to work a lot of the time, but are going to get picked off occasionally? And I'll give you the non-Jefferson one that was high risk, and he talked about it, but I loved it. The Thielen pass that that set up the Joseph field goal to win the game, that the Packers cornerback got turned around on. And if he hadn't, that could have been a pick six. But that's the exact type of pass you like that's where a month ago it's a some type of like run for Dalvin, right? And now it's a pretty risky short pass, but it works and it's a huge gain. And those are the type of chances in this league that with the talent of Kirk and Thielen and Jefferson, you need to take.
But isn't it interesting, Judd, after the game, what did Cousins say about that play? You don't want to live in that world.
But you do.
Where you're throwing it. But you do. But that's
my point.
That's the dilemma of him saying, I mean, it was his first reaction. He's like, you know, and he keeps calling it a razor's edge. Yeah. He's like, you know, you don't want to live in a world where you're throwing it into a covered guy that could go either way. And I'm like, you do, though.
You have to live.
But that's like everything is taken. It almost feels like it's taken every ounce of his being.
No, I know.
And it's not him.
He doesn't want to live there. Somebody is telling him, and they're right, you have to. And like Jefferson does, Thielen does, right? Yeah. Like they are in that zip code. They're in the zip code, baby. And Kirk's like, I don't like this zip code. And they're like, Kirk, this is like, you know, like this is it. The razor's edge thing is this entire league every week.
So what happens if
the league,
the next razor's edge, he's on the wrong side and he throws two picks and they lose?
You're going to have to swallow hard and be like,
you are. That is where, if you're Zim, you have to stand by what you said.
Correct.
That's life. You can't huff and puff and come to post game. It's like, well, we got to protect the ball. Quarterback has, hey, you've already said correct. That's life. Right. And so, because this is like, if you go back to the other way, we've seen it. We've seen the results of that. And it's, You allow teams that you should beat hang around and find a way to almost beat you or do beat you if you play that way.
Bad teams. Yes, that's true of the entire league. That's true of the entire league. Now, I think the one place where Zim has now changed his tune and is on point and probably was told this, but it's fine, Chip, is this one. So previously, up until 2020, what Mike would have said is, I don't like to take these chances. I don't care what he says now. I don't like to take these chances because my defense is going to save the day. I think now somebody finally got to him and said, Mike, I got some stats for you, buddy boy.
Yeah.
Just simple stats, too. You are 28th in the league in total defense. You are 22nd in scoring. defense. You were 29th last year, but 22nd's no great shakes. If you don't take these chances, you've got no chance. Like, your defense is not going.
Yeah.
You are flat out going to have to get in shootouts and outscore teams. And now what? We've got Pierce out on Sunday. We've got Tomlinson out. Hunter's lost. Griffin now has had this off the field episode, which we don't know a lot about, but I mean, I certainly wouldn't expect him to play now. So your entire defensive line is basically out. So I think that they've told Mike, you're going to have to embrace the fact that this team is really now built around one thing, and that's your offense.
It's scoring. Yeah. What did he say? I tell Kirk, you go for touchdowns and I'll back us down where you need to. It's like,
it's such he crap. Knows. It's such crap. He's still full of crap. I'll back us down. I've got the race car, Kirk. Think about
it. But it is. I think he, you're right. I mean, he was coaching early in the year like they were going to win 17-14.
Yep.
And now he's realizing, okay, this defense is beat up, whatever circumstances, not as good. That they're going to have to win 31-27, you know, 34-30. I mean, these are going to have to be the way they have to win. And so, and guess what? They have the offense to do it. You know, I know it goes against everything he stands for, but if you're going to get to the playoffs and save your job, you have to be willing to adjust and realize, okay, what is the strength of this team? It ain't defense right now.
Right.
You know? It's the offense can score some points in your wonderful wide receiver and quarterback who's playing really good right now. So it'd be he probably has to grit his teeth a little bit to win that way.
Yeah. And Kirk might too. That's what's so intriguing about this.
Yeah.
Kirk might be doing the same thing. As much as Mike and Kirk seemingly don't see eye to eye chip, they have so much in common.
Mm-hmm.
Like, as far as their approaches, they're both conservative by nature. They both don't like, I don't think Kirk loves what he's doing, but he's been told you can do it. And he does have the God-given athletic ability to make those throws. And most importantly, JJ can go get the ball.
You know, what's so funny though, Judd, I was just listening to, he was having his Wednesday presser before we got on here, and he's done this throughout like the last couple weeks. He's basically saying, yeah, I haven't really changed the way I play. Just taking what the defense gives. I mean, it's like, Kirk.
Well, Mike's saying the same thing.
Tell me one thing. Trust my eyes. Yeah.
Mike's like, yeah, we haven't changed. You've changed everything, basically.
Fundamentally. Awesome. Yeah. Yeah. But it is funny. Like, he doesn't want to acknowledge the narrative that's out there that, oh, my gosh, you're taking more chances and you're giving these guys. And it's like, no, that's what the coverage dictates. I'm just going where the coverage dictates. It's like, come on.
Well, I'm going where the coverage dictates deep downfield. 2 weeks ago, you told me, or no, a month ago, you said, I can't. They're too deep. Like, is nobody playing too deep now?
Yeah.
So,
yeah, no. It's
hilarious, but you know what? To listen to.
But it's been fun to watch, though. I will say
hell
that.
Yeah.
I mean, when you see Jefferson and Thielen And you know, Dalvin didn't run for a lot of yards, but he got a lot of carries. I think he had 20s, low 20s carries, which is a pretty, you know, it's not 30 like he's used to getting, but it's not like they just completely ignored him and said, okay, we don't have Dalvin anymore. We're just going to throw it. I think he ran 23 times. Is that right?
He ran. This is the Chargers game. I'll find it because it's an interesting.
It was low 20s. It was low 20s.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, it just, there was not a whole lot there for. I think the first drive of the second half, he had most of his yards. He actually was starting to get going then.
And he caught,
but it was
three or four balls too.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, it was tough. It was tough running, but it wasn't like they just said, okay, you're getting 10 carries. No, it's still a pretty big work day for him. It just wasn't a lot of yards. But so it's like, you know, it still had some of the fundamental principles of what they want to do, run the ball. But it just feels like their identity, they're starting to figure out that, hey, this let's be aggressive offensively. Let's get the receivers more involved. And we can still run Dalvin, you know, 20 plus times.
The distribution on Sunday, in my opinion, was damn near perfect. Like, that's as close. I think it was 10 attempts to Thielen, 10 attempts to Jefferson, a few to Osborne, which they should do. And I think Dalvin touched the ball like 24, 25 times. total.
Yeah.
Which that's the blueprint. That's the distribution. But I mean, that's what we, to go back to what we've taught, and it's not like we're football geniuses, but that's what we've discussed. But Chip, the thing to me too, that I love is this one. And I think it goes back to when I was on the beat first with Kevin and then with you. And it's why the Jefferson thing to me is so important. You know, we covered this team when they didn't have these guys. Like we covered Aroma Shadu and Michael Jenkins at the end. And
Bernard Berrien,
who was, by the way, their top guy. And he was okay, but he certainly wasn't. He certainly didn't come close to what they currently have. And I think my frustration in watching this is, hold on a second here. You've got these two or three guys and one guy in Jefferson in particular, who's just, to your point, a superstar. And you're going to sort of be like, well, we'll use them as we see fit. You know, you need to. And again, to Kirk's credit, he can make these throws. And I don't know if Kirk enjoys taking chances. It seems like he does not. I personally don't care. But I mean, this is, as a football fan, what you're saying is why I applaud this and want to see this, because as somebody who watches this team, just like you, week after week after week, I want to see them be as much fun as possible. And this is fun.
Yeah. And because, you know, you go back to the game or the two games Jefferson was targeted three times, one game, four times the next, or no, it's four games or four targets and then five targets. So nine targets total in 2 weeks. Yep. It's like, And what do we hear? Wow, the way, you know, they rolled coverage, umbrella coverage, all this too deep. We couldn't do it. So what do we see? Sonny against the Packers. They line them up in the backfield so they get the matchup they want. That's creative. That's how you scheme a guy open.
Right.
It's not just saying, well, what are you going to do? He's getting double coverage or draw a lot of attention so we can't. No, you have to find ways to get your best player the ball. And I love that wrinkle. It was funny because, you know, Zimmer said, well, everybody knows he's not back there to block, but they still didn't cover. I mean, they
didn't know
they
what, got to do what
they wanted. They, yeah. 100%. So that's where you're saying scheme them open. That was a beautiful play, design, everything. It's like, that's exactly what you do when you have a transformational talent,
right,
a guy who changes the game like that. That was good.
Yeah, it was fantastic. And guess what? The Packers were slightly confused and it worked perfectly. No, there's no question. Like, and that excuse is so feeble and lame, right? Like it's not like the Packers are like, Devontae Adams is being, well, they're covering him pretty well. Yeah. Today, 17 don't get the ball. You know, they line him up in the slot. Then he's outside. Then he's in motion. Like, so yeah, this whole notion of, and that's where I think that there definitely is more help being given from the Vikings standpoint, which I think has come from the QB coach Janoco, because there is so much more, in my opinion, creativity now and a thought process of the fundamental principles of this offense are fine, but this is 2021. You've got to mix things up. You've got to, and the term scheme the player open is exactly right. And sometimes guess what? Got to take a shot.
Yeah,
and he's going to be covered. And man coverage against Jefferson means almost nothing.
Yeah, I take
he's
that.
Open if it's
and Greg Olson did a good job. Who I actually think he's a really good analyst. I mean, really he was good. Great. Like listening to him, I watched the game from home and just like, that guy's really smart and explains. But they
show why he's good, because he just got done playing. I always would hire guys who just played. Those are the guys that know the game today.
Yeah, Jed, the way he was explaining different, you know, just looks and stuff. I mean, it was like real. I thought fascinating. I thought he was really good, but you know, he kept harping on the one where they would stack Thielen and Jefferson together on one side, and how one would go seven route, one would do shallow, one would do deeper, and just the problems that creates for defenses. I don't know how much they were doing that earlier year, if that's a new wrinkle, but that was effective. And so you feel like they're trying to count, you know, if they felt like defenses are doing things to take them away, it just feels like they're saying, okay, here, we'll do this. We'll put them in the backfield, or we'll try this new route combination. And and it's been effective. And, oh, by the way, we're going to tell the quarterback, throw him the ball deep, you know.
And it's almost like they've taken – and Chip, it's almost like these last two games, they've taken in – not totally, but in some ways, the checkdowns away. So, because like if you throw the ball to Conklin and it's not a check down, it's actually not a bad play. Like the frustration about CJ Ham and Conklin is, you know, Kirk, you know, back in the pocket, starting to panic. And then he's like, I'll just check the ball down. But there was what looked like a definite read to Conklin on Sunday. That was a really nice play and a really smart play. And I have no problem then if you use a guy like Conklin, it's when he becomes this constant security blanket that it gets tiresome.
And the thing that's interesting too, Judd, is we saw the pocket collapse from the inside. I mean,
yeah, Mason the center Cole had done. Like Kenny Clark. Done.
I mean, Mason Cole had a tough time against Kenny Clark, but that didn't, we're not using that as an excuse for a bunch of checkdowns, which we've done in the past. Like, 100%. Well, they're all over him and he came right up his gut. And what's he going to do? You know, he threw the ball down the field. I mean, he took chances. Like the one, again, that was the all out blitz. I think on the one he threw to Jefferson, he just throws up and, you know, trust that the guy's going to make a play. And so I like that we're not using that as an excuse because he was under pressure up the gut a lot. And we 100%. That was not becoming an excuse for him not being aggressive this week.
Yeah, which also goes back to the fact that the offense was run flat out from a coaching standpoint really well.
Yeah.
But Chip, you know, there's going to be at the end of the day when Kirk is gone, there's going to be a very interesting discussion to be had about just how much he was ultimately in some ways, some years left to his own devices. And it was incredibly destructive because he's not a good enough quarterback. He's not like Kirk's problems are not his arm. It's not his that it's from the neck down.
And it's makeup,
you know, he can't really run, but from the neck down, Kirk Cousins is very good. It's the brain. And so like, you need to tell Kirk, here's what we're going to do. We're going to get you the protection. That's going to be good enough. Here's the internal clock. Like it felt like on Sunday that they gave him the official checklist. Okay. You've got X amount of time. You've got these guys. We're going to help by scheming them open. And that's where it's like, Eureka, this all makes sense.
Yeah. But he used the word today. Someone asked him, is it liberating to hear that from your head coach about don't worry about interceptions? He's like, well, you never want to throw interceptions, blah, blah, blah. Yeah,
of course you did.
But he said something like, you know, when you have the ball in your hand, you have a big part of the organization in your hand. So you can tell like he thinks about these things.
Yeah, and I don't want him thinking about that.
No, it's just like, just go play and sleep.
You goody two shoes, you know, take the apple away from Zim, flip him off and go play quarterback.
But he said something about it's nice not to have constraints, you know, and I don't think he was saying it in a way that he had them. I almost think some of it is, and maybe he did have them from Zim, but I also think it's self-constraints too.
Oh, it's 1,000%. Yeah, the checkdowns. The checkdowns, like you said, I mean, that's exactly right. The checkdowns are a byproduct of a lack of guidance, which is what he needs completely. The fact that they never got him a center who was a big time, I can call the signals, don't worry about this, here's what we're going. The fact that Kirk has never had a true guy, I don't think, who gets into the situation and says, Kirk, here's what we're doing.
Yeah.
Hurts Kirk. Because Kirk's like, I'm not really, I shouldn't be in control here. And it's like, actually, you are the quarterback, dude. But, you know, if you had a veteran grizzled center in that huddle, right, who said, Kirk, look at me. I don't care what they're saying. Here's what we're doing. You know, Kirk can do those things. And then if Zim says, what the hell was that? The center comes up and says, Mike, I did it.
I'm running this. Yeah.
Now, you know, shut up and run the defense. That's what you did. That's football.
Yeah. It is interesting hearing us doing this football, the quarterback. Did you hear the Aaron Rodgers breakdown critique with Pat McAfee yesterday on Harrison Smith?
It was great stuff.
I encourage the people who are listening to this, go find that video. It's like a 3-minute video of him talking about Harrison being disguised and how Zim, they hold their disguise till late.
Yep, loved it.
It is unbelievable. And he talked about with the check with me, how we talked about – years like quarterbacks, they have a run or a pass play in the thing, and then you check with me, and he looks at the D. It is amazing, how much quarterbacks have to process at the line in about 15 seconds to know we're going to run it, we're going to run here, we're going to pass.
That'd be incredibly smart.
I thought it was fascinating to hear Roger just kind of break that down. Matter of fact, just you realize how much goes into this that we have no idea what they're doing.
Oh, my God. Yeah, and you have to be either super, super intelligent or sports smart. Like, Favre, yeah. I think, is really sports smart and cocky. And that's the thing is, like, Kirk is too aw shucks. So there were two things about that clip that was great that stood out to me, Chip. One was, one of the reasons why Anthony Barr never leaves is because he mentioned Barr, because the disguise is, it's literally for Mike, a security blanket. Because I would argue still, Harrison's play has dropped off. There's no question. He's getting older. I mean, it's that simple, right? But they disguise well, and they know what they're doing, and so does Barr. So for all of those, and there's a lot, and I almost don't blame him, who say, why is Anthony Barr still here? It's because of that.
Well, and we heard, I mean, I had a player on defense tell me, you have no idea how much that defense missed him last year in terms of getting everybody set up,
right?
Recognizing things, just diagnosing. And that's what Zim loves about him. It's like, you've heard that for years. Like, because we've always said, where's the splash plays? You know, and they're like, you don't understand what he means to the defense. And so,
Harrison Smith, same thing. That's exactly
right. Yeah. And so, but I love listening to that football talk and have the kind of the cat and mouse game between Rodgers and Zimmer. It'd be fun to get those two in a room together and watch film. And could you imagine, like, hey, what were you doing here? What were you doing?
That'd be a great
like after they're retired. NFL Network, after they're retired, get those two together, go through their tape. Hey, what were you doing here? That would be, oh my gosh, that'd be so good.
The one place where I think Rodgers lied, and I don't believe
he probably looked at that
one bit, is I guessed right. I guessed right a lot. No, you didn't guess. You saw,
I knew.
You saw things, and you want them to be comfortable with the fact that you say, Harrison Smith, I just can't tell. That 70 plus, that last touchdown was not a guess. He knew, and Chip, to go behind the curtain of that, Patrick Peterson post-game had a, and by the way, is he smooth? I love that.
Yeah, he's great.
Patrick Peterson post-game, though, had a great comment, which was a dig at, I think, Zimmer. But somebody said, what happened there? Like, you got caught with your shorts down, right? And he's like, I'm just going to say this. We were really aggressive. And then I think he got pressed on. Yeah, but what happened? He's like, I'll just keep it at, we were really aggressive, which to me means Mike got outsmarted by Aaron. Yeah. But that was not a guess. I mean, he was not, oh my God, I don't know what they're going to do. Let's throw this ball. That was
a design.
Yeah. I know what you're going, the chess match. You're so right.
There was a little bit of, in that clip, little Aaron patting him on their back and like, shucks, how did I, you know, I guessed right one time. It's like, you didn't guess, but
it's great though. You're right.
I'm sure I'm sure those guys, when they do see it, identify it, because I think they do, you know, disguise really well. They're probably like, it's probably fun for those guys, you know, when they sit back and watch film and like, oh, we got him here, we fooled him here, or 100%. They thought they had me there and I got him. So
great game. Before we get to our predictions for Niners and Vikings on Sunday, Chip, Thanksgiving is here tomorrow. I hope that you've got the turkey. I hope you got the stuffing. I hope you got the mashed potatoes. But more important than any of that, I hope you have a full helping of Surly Furious IPA. Tell me that this is going to be on the Scoggins Thanksgiving table on Thursday.
Judd, I went yesterday. Not only did I get one of the four packs, I like the tall ones.
I know
it's
you
Thanksgiving.
Do.
I got two.
They taste better.
I like the tall ones. It's weird. It's a psychological thing. I know that's the same beer.
That's fine.
Like
you know what?
It's
what
the
you
four
need.
Packs. I had to stock up. I got the four pack, so I'm good to go. Thanksgiving's going to be festive here at the Scoggins. I got the kids home from college.
Very nice. Surly. Furious, outstanding. Okay, give me your prediction. Vikings, Niners on Sunday. It looks like the defense will be the entire starting line. And San Francisco has actually won 3 of 4. Garoppolo's playing well. They can really run the ball. What's your expectation?
Yeah. San Francisco's starting to figure out who they are now, too. And they can run the ball. And this defensive line situation gives you pause for concern. Not knowing what's going on with Everson and the impact that might have on guys, both not having one feel, but also just emotionally. I like the way they're playing offensively. But the defense now, you have real concerns with your line. So I can see them winning a shootout, though. I think this offense has found their formula. I think I could see them winning a close shootout. I wouldn't be surprised if that happens.
Okay.
But I also could see them losing a close shootout, too.
So if you had to pick, which side would you pick?
I'll go Vikings in a close shootout.
Okay, because I'm going to go San Francisco because they love to run. I don't think now – I mean, Watts has played well, but now you're without Tomlinson as well. I don't – the problem is, can the Vikings get the ball enough and strike quick enough, because San Fran is going to try to run clock, time of possession. I'm going to go 49ers by about 3 points. Dex, who do you pick on Sunday?
I think the Vikings win, but it's a slugfest. I think it's about 17-14. I think it's going to be an ugly, ugly football game. I think
low scoring.
I think I'm going to go low scoring, and the Vikings got punched in the mouth there 2 years ago in the playoffs, but I think the Vikings do get the win. Jimmy's hard to beat for whatever reason. And I don't think he's a great quarterback. I don't know if it's infrastructure.
He's a winner,
but,
man.
But the dude wins. The dude wins everywhere he goes.
W's, baby. W's. Win-loss record, right?
That's right.
All right, Chips Goggins, thank you. We'll talk to you next week. Have a great Turkey Day, and enjoy your Surly Furiouses as you
absolutely
watch
have a good
the Lions and Bears, baby. It's going to be great.
All right.
Talk to you. Bye.